on the topic, caste system, is it for chaos or harmony? So we have different college groups having this debate for quite some time. And after that, we had a discussion, question and answers, everything. But at the end of question and answers, we didn't have any question and answers. We actually, all of us were addressing for some time. And we came to know after the program that many, many students had plenty of questions with them. It appears, unfortunately, many of those who asked questions are not here. They went for Russia Banda. So they haven't come here. But still, we are planning to go ahead with the program today. And we will not be waiting. So we will have I will address for about, say, half an hour. And after that, all your questions will be answered by different devotees. They will not be answered. Why we are addressing a topic like this caste system, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra today? In the current times, people have completely forgotten religion, forgotten God, and everyone is standing here and there in the rat race of the modern world. How is it relevant to talk about Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra and all these things? Generally, people reject God or religion thinking that ultimately, religion brings about great chaos in society. Of course, they quote many reasons, one of which is this caste system, which is often considered to be some big blunder that religion has brought about in society. Of course, there could be many, they may talk about religion, but this is certainly one of the items. So, in this forum, we would like to address this issue about caste system and show how the system did not bring about chaos, but the system was actually intended for a very great purpose. Originally, all of us, we don't belong to this world in the first place. We belong to the spiritual world. So every one of us has one in quality. Whether you take a man or a woman or a tiger, or a dog, or a tree. In all these different bodies, the soul sitting in those bodies is of the same quality. That is why it is said, one who is a very, very exalted soul, Pandita, he can clearly see the equality between all these things. He sees all these things to be equal. He sees a Brahmana, a Chandala, a dog, and an elephant, all these things equally. Pandita Samadarshana, it is said. But although everyone is a soul covered over by different kinds of bodies, still, due to the covering of different type of body, our behavior also changes. Just like, if I take one of you and I offer you a cycle, and I offer you a scooter, and I offer you a car, and I offer you a plane, ultimately, all of you, the same person will be able to drive at different speeds, isn't it? Because you are driving different vehicles which have different capacity. Similarly, the Atma is the same in all these bodies. But because it is sitting in different bodies, his ability to exercise, and his freedom is restricted because of the superficial covering of different bodies. So, the Shastras explain that there are four types of people present in society. This is called as Varna. Four types of Varnas. One is the intellectual class. And one is the martial class. And third is mercantile class. And fourth is the labor class. So these four classes of people are made not due to some desire for exploiting them or dominating them. But these tendencies in people are naturally found. If you take a lot of lot from your college, say a classroom, you will find there are people of different natures. Some people have a spontaneous nature to do mathematical problems. They can solve things very easily. Last week when I was speaking, one student argued with me that all these things which are talking about special talent and all, these things can be trained and brought. Simply by giving some training, anybody can get those abilities, he said. But I beg to differ from his viewpoint, because if you see, if somebody is a very sweet singer, can everyone in the hall here be made a sweet singer? Even if you get training for a million years? What do you say? So, everyone has some innate, inbuilt nature at the time of birth. In this we all fix ourselves. It's called as guna and karma. We have an innate quality. And we have also innate tendency to do a particular type of work. So we all can analyze ourselves and find out our bent of mind for a particular type of work. So when I was a schoolboy, my professor asked me once, not only me, he asked all of us to stand up in our place and tell us what we would like to become in future. So actually boys didn't know. My neighbors were asking me, hey, what should we tell? Teacher is asking. So actually everyone was asking the neighbor. And we found most of the boys were saying engineer or doctor. Just because everyone is saying, so they have to say, I also want to become an engineer. Everyone. But actually, if we analyze ourselves, we will be easily able to see that we all have an innate tendency to do a particular type of work. So I stood up and I said, I would like to become Brahmachari. I would like to become a sadhu to preach Bhagavad Gita. And the professor didn't like the answer. What nonsense. You should have ambition like this, become an engineer or a doctor. These are two prestigious professions. I said, you asked us what we want to become. This is what we like. So all of us, if you go deep into your heart, you will have an innate nature to do a particular type of work. And also you have a particular guna, quality. So who is the Brahmana? Qualities are given. Shama, dama, tapas, shaucham, kshantir, arjava, mevacha, jnanam, vijnanam, astikyam, brahma, karma, subhavajam. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Shama means a person who is mentally, whose mind is under control. His mind is peaceful. Dama, control of senses. His senses are also controlled. Tapa, he can perform austerities. And he can fast for a whole day. Shaucham, he is externally and internally clean. And Arjavam means honesty, simplicity. He is simple, very simple. He dresses simply, he lives simply, he has no adambar. He doesn't have to show off. He lives a very simple life. And Jnanam Vijnana Vasikyam, he has a transcendental knowledge and he also applies it in practice. He has a practical realization of the world. These are the qualities of a Brahman. So if anybody has these qualities, then he can be called as a Brahman. And similarly, Kshatriya qualities are also given. So Krishna says, Brahma Karma Svabhavajam. So such a person who has the qualities of a Brahmana, what activities he does? He likes reading the scriptures like Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Puranas, Upanishads, he reads them. And then he teaches them to the other people. He educates the masses. And he also performs various sacrifices, yajna. And he teaches others how to perform yajna. Or, he knows how to worship God, and he teaches people to worship God. And he lives simply by accepting some charity. Charity means whatever comes up its own accord. He doesn't accept any salary. He doesn't go to some place to earn some salary. But whatever people give him, he gives knowledge and whatever comes by charity in hand, he accepts that. And if he accepts charity, he gives it off in charity. He also gives charity. If I get 4 apples, I want only 1, I'll give 3 apples away in charity. So Brahmana means one who doesn't accumulate. He just takes what he needs and he is satisfied with that. So these are qualities of a Brahmana. And Kshatriya, also Krishna says, Kshuryam, Kshuryam, Tejo, Durdhu, Yaksham, Yudhya, Chapipalayanam. So he says, one who has Shurata, or one who has the courage to stand in battle without running away, one who can show his chest, one who is ready for a fight, that is, we find Arjuna, how he fought the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Tejo, they have the determination, power. Dithi means determination, power, and leading, managing. All these abilities come when one has the Kshatriya qualities. And Vaishya is one who gives protection to cows. Krishi Gauraksha Vanijyam, Vaishya Karma Svabhajam, Krishna says. Krishi Gauraksha Vanijyam, three things. Doing farming and protecting the cows and trading. These qualities are qualities of a Vaishya. And Shudra is one, Parcharyatmakam Karma, Shudra Karma Svabhajam. He simply serves the other three classes and whatever salary, whatever facilities he gets from them, he lives happily with that. He simply serves others. So these four characters Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita and says that all of us will be having one of these qualities. If you see, these are clear-cut qualities. There is no ambiguity in that. If you see, there are certain activities for which you are very fond of doing. If you see in life, for example, somebody is very fond of studying subjects so much that he, after BE, he wants to go for master's, then he wants to go for doctorate, then he wants to join some R&D department, then he may even go abroad and do some PDF. So he is intellectual class, plus he has inclination. And there are other boys who will say, enough is enough. Once I pass out of BE, I want to throw away my books. No more studies, isn't it? Can anybody say that, no, this person who doesn't want to study, I can make him study and go abroad and get PDF and come. You can't say that. Because everyone has their innate nature. So, in any lot of people, whether it is India or America or Australia or Europe, anywhere you go, you will find people who are inclined to these activities of a Brahmana or a Kshatriya or a Vaishya or a Shudra. Somebody is very fond of doing business and earning money. Somebody is very fond of simply doing some hard labor with the body. And somebody is fond of joining army. Like in my class, one boy was very interested to join army. He said, my goal of my life is to die in the battlefield. I want to join Indian army. So he joined. So there are people who have the vigor to fight for the nation. So in this way, these qualities are all mentioned by Krishna. These are all called as Varna. So in the Vedic society, the Brahmanas, they had no money. They simply lived on charity. But they were the greatest assets for the society. Why? Simply they were not living like parasites on society, causing trouble to others. Rather, they were preaching the Shastras, what God has given, like Bhagavad Gita. And people become enlightened. And when people become enlightened, they give up all sinful activities. And then the whole society flourishes very nicely. In one of our previous classes we were talking that if people give up sinful habits, then society will very wonderfully flourish. People will become truly happy. So the duty of a Brahmana is to make everyone truly happy. This is the work of a Brahmana in society. And Kshatriyas, they build temples, they give protection to women, children, old men, Brahmanas and cows. Kshatriyas give protection to them. And Vaishyas, they produce wealth, and they give in charity to other three classes. And Shudras also do their work, labor work, and they are very satisfied. In Vedic society, we saw beautifully arranged. Last week, one of our devotees was explaining, just like in the body, we have the head, which is supplying the intelligence for the whole body. Like, you know, if you want to do some activity, the brain has to give direction, isn't it? So that is considered to be Brahman. Similarly, the shoulders, which give protection, are compared to Kshatriya. And the stomach, compared to Vaishya, which supplies energy for the whole body. And legs are compared to the Shudra. So all these four different classes work in coordination for the whole body to function wonderfully. So this is called a social body. The social body functions very efficiently, wonderfully, if all the four classes cooperate with one another. Nobody is considered to be more important or less important. Everyone is considered important. Because if you don't have legs, you can't walk from one place to another. If you don't have shoulders, if you don't have hands, then you can't protect your body. If something falls on you, you can't protect your body without shoulders. Similarly, without the stomach, the body cannot get the energy for the whole body. Similarly, without the head, no one can even survive. So all the four classes are considered important in Vedic society. And also there is ashrama. Ashrama, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas. Brahmachari is the first stage. First 25 years in the Vedic times, people would spend in a Gurukul. And a celibate, they would live as a celibate and take training. Vasandanto Gurorhitam. Brahmachari Gurukule Vasandanto Gurorhitam. So everyone goes to Gurukul and lives under the custody of Guru and renders service to them. Whether they are son of the king of Delhi or they happen to be son of a poor man. Both will be serving under the Guru. They will not be given any special respect. Both will be washing the floor, washing the toilet, going and bringing firewood. They will be doing everything in Brahmachari life. So in Brahmachari life, they are trained in the spiritual principles. And then after 25, one accepts Grihastha Ashram. That's for another 25 years. One lives with wife, children, family, father, mother. And the purpose of living should be understood. Why one is living? It is said, Arapambir, Vijasraishtha, Varnashama, Vibhagasha, Sva Anishtitasya, Dharmasya, Samsiddhir, Haritoshanam. Everyone assumed a particular position in society only for the pleasure of Lord Sri Krishna. Samsiddhir Haritoshanam. Only for Krishna's pleasure everyone did their activity. The Brahmachari, would follow the Brahmacharya principles ultimately to become a pure devotee. Similarly, Grihastha is giving protection to his wife and children and enhance their Krishna consciousness so that ultimately everyone can become pure-hearted, fit to return back to God. Similarly, after 50 years, if a father has a son who can take care of his wife, and if the son can take care of the mother, then the father goes for Vanaprastha. Actually, mother and father, they go together to all the holy places. They travel to all the holy places and live a life simply for purification. They go for Tirthayatras, simply to hear from the saintly people and live a very pure life. And then at 75, if a man is sufficiently advanced, he can renounce everything and take up sannyas. Now you will be shocked. Why do people take sannyas? What about the wife? What about children? The son will take care of the mother and give protection to everyone in the family. And the father, if he lives between 75 to 100, for 25 years, he can become a sannyasi and he can go all over the world and preach and spread the message of the Vedas. So the purpose of this Varna Ashrama is ultimately to bring about God consciousness in the whole society. That is the ultimate purpose. There is no other purpose for this. Nobody considers oneself superior, nobody considers himself inferior. Everyone is supposed to work together. Just like sometimes you find in a music troupe, somebody is told to play violin, somebody is told to play some jambe, somebody is playing mridangam, somebody is playing something like a, what is the instrument you call it? Mouth organ or different instruments. So if you see a music troupe, do you think all the instruments are participating at the same time? You don't find that. The director is there and the director gives direction. Now you do it, he says. And then he plays for some time. And then he stops and now you do it. So everyone in the music troupe has his role to play. And if they all play nicely, they do their work, then the music will come out very nicely. It will be very pleasing. But then if people in the music troupe, if one wants to dominate, one in the music troupe says, no, I know jambe very well, I'll be playing throughout. And he keeps on beating, da ba da ba da ba da ba. And the whole music will be spoiled. He should only play when he is told to play. Similarly, in the Vedic life, there was no competition, that the Shudras never asked, why should we serve the other classes? People simply, we will have to reach Shastra and preach like Brahmins. Yes, they can reach Shastra, they can understand. Actually, the Brahmanas in the Vedic times were considered the spiritual master of society. So they read the Vedic Shastra, they can understand, and they can distribute the knowledge to other classes. The Kshatriya Vaishya Shudra, they hear from Brahman actually. They give the Vedic knowledge. As I told you, some of us have ability to read and give knowledge. Some others have ability to give protection. Somebody else has ability to count money and make more money. Somebody has ability to do heavy labor with the body. But not everyone has all the abilities. Or not everyone considers oneself inferior because I can do only this work. Just like, for example, somebody who is a weightlifter, he can lift 250 pounds. He has a very hefty body. But there may be another person who is an artist. He may be having a skinny body. So he may think, oh, this weightlifter, you know, he's lifting so nicely, but I can't lift. If he sees, then he'll get inferiority complex. Then the weightlifter sees that person who's an artist drawing nice pictures. The weightlifter thinks, I can't draw anything like this. Because everyone is endowed with some unique abilities at birth, which come. And Krishna says, guna karma dvadasa. If one can exhibit certain quality, usually one can be known to be Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. And the purpose of this is ultimately everyone should go back to Godhead. That is the whole purpose. In those days, the Brahmanas would give katha, like Ramayana katha, Mahabharata katha, even now it goes on in India. All classes of people would come and hear. Whether one has a nature of Kshatriya or a Shudra or a Vaishya, there is no discrimination. Everyone comes and hears. And everyone can hear it, understand it, and they can advance according to their own capacity. They can advance more and more and become purified. Now, people wonder why Shudras were dominated by the Brahmanas and they were not respected. Why one should be given a labor work? Why should somebody be like a master and simply sitting and preaching and speaking Shastra and other person has to work very hard? It is not a very wise question to ask, because somebody who wants to work hard, he has the nature to work hard. He wants to work hard. He likes working hard. And he doesn't want to read Shastra and preach. So he was allowed to work hard. Actually, it's not that he was forced to work hard. he was just allowed to do work which is of his nature in the Vedic times. Of course, what happened over a period of time was the sons of Brahmanas were also embedding the same quality of their fathers. So they were becoming Brahmins. And the sons of Kshatriyas were becoming great Kshatriyas, kings. Like you see, Pancha Pandavas, like Parikshit was, Parikshit is whose son? Abhimanyu. Abhimanyu is whose son? Arjuna. All were very tribal of Kshatriyas, you see. So somebody born in a particular family also assumes the same quality of the father because he has more opportunity to become like father. Just like if any of you happen to be son of a doctor, you stand a good chance to become a doctor. Due to which, over a period of time, the Brahmanas are living at one place, Kshatriyas are living at another place, Vaishyas are living at another place, and Shudras are living at another place. So they were all living in their own places. Like we say, birds of the same feather flock together. They were actually very happy living together, people of the same nature. Just like, for example, a student of engineering cannot have much to have discussion intellectually with a student of commerce. You know, what do you know about accountancy and commerce? Because it doesn't match. Similarly, people of the same feather, they were actually living together very happily. According to their habits, they were having similar temperaments and they were living happily. But over a period of time, suddenly a mistake was committed by the Brahmins, by some of the people who were superficial, ritualistic Brahmins, who did not know the purpose of religion. So they started thinking themselves superior to the other classes. And then seeing that misbehavior, then Kshatriyas did not take guidance from Brahmins. They started going away from Brahmins. They said, we will rule the country ourselves. See, Kshatriyas have Bahubal. They have the strength. The Brahmins have the intelligence. When you combine strength and intelligence, then the society will advance. But unfortunately, when they got separated, whole society was put into chaos. And then all this problems came about. Who is inferior? Who is superior? I want to do this, I will be that. All kinds of problems came about. Now, besides these four classes, there is a class called as Vaishnava, who is superior, I mean, who is beyond all Varna and Ashrama. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he sang once, he said, Naham vipra nachanara patir nati vaishyo na shudro Naham narini nachanara Naham barani nakadhihapati novanasto yaturva kintu prajan nikila paramananda purnamritadhi gopi bhattu parakamala yordata dasanu dasa. He said, Naham vipro, I am not a brahmana. He was born in a brahmana family and he exhibited all the brahminical qualities. But what did he say? Naham vipro, I am not a brahmana. Katanarapati, I am not a king. Napi vaishyo, I am not a vaishya. Nashudru, I am not a shudra. I am not a brahmachari, I am not a grahastha, I am not vanaprastha, I am not sannyasi. So you wonder, then what are you? Which category you fall? He says, I am the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who is the master of all his great devotees. I am his servant. And I don't have any other designation. This is my only designation. So he is speaking from a spiritual platform. In spiritual platform, all of us are equal. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, when you say, people think who is superior, who is inferior. But in a spiritual platform, everyone is equal. You were a sarupaha, Krishna and Nityadas, it is said. So as servant of Krishna, everyone is a soul, and supposed to worship Krishna with all their heart and all their love. This is the role of a soul. So Vaishnava doesn't see what service is given to me. The Vaishnava is one who is surrendered to his guru. Whatever service guru does, he does it. Whether Guru asked him to wash the floor, he washes. There was one great devotee called Dasharathi. So his Guru, Ramanuja, sent him to the house to become like a servant, simply bringing water from the river and washing the pots and cooking in the kitchen. Although Dasharathi was a very learned pandit and a great Brahman, so Guru wanted to make him humble, so he told him to do such humble work. And he did also. This is the meaning of a Vaishnava. Vaishnava can do any type of work, whatever his Vijaya Master gives him. So ultimately one has to become a Vaishnava, whatever class one be. Even in the Vedic times, if anybody becomes a Vaishnava, he was greatly respected. For example, Vidura, all of you know Vidura? You know, Vidura was born to a Dasi. So he was, if you see him by birth, he was called as Shudra by birth. People may call him as they want, as Shudra. But he became such a great devotee that Lord Krishna rejected the warm welcome given by the other Kshatriyas and he went to the house of Vidura to eat from the hands of Vidura. So you can see that, like I was giving last week the example of Guha, who was a great devotee of Ram. He was not even in these four classes, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, but he was in the Vidura category, he was called as Nishada. So in this way, anybody from any walk of life can become a devotee of Krishna. And they would be adored and respected by all people in society, irrespective of the classes. So it should be understood that in the Vedic times, the system was there not with the idea of putting down somebody or elevating somebody. I would like to certainly address one issue that came up last week. Like somebody was talking about one very famous personality in society, one famous politician, Dr. Ambedkar. So Dr. Ambedkar, I remember one incident that happened in his life in his school days. In his school days, one day when he was coming in a horse cart, so the driver of the horse cart was speaking to him something, asking him questions about his family and everything. And he went on replying him. At one point of time, when the horse cart driver came to know that this boy belongs to a very, very low family, lowly family, he became very angry. He immediately got down from the car and lifted the car like this. And this boy rolled down along with his school bag. And he was thrown to the ground. And then the horse cart driver, he sprinkled some water and said, "You have spoiled my car because you come from such a low caste." And then he said, "Now I purified it. Now I am going ahead." So he went ahead without caring for the boy. So this boy, when he was looking with his burning eyes, he said, "What is this low caste, high caste? What is this touchability and untouchability? Nonsense. When I grow up, I will become a great revolutionist, that I will make society a classless society." So that was his goal. So if you talk of classless society, then like for example, man and woman, we will be talking about it in future. So by wearing pant and shirt, woman doesn't become man. You know, woman is a woman, man is a man. Similarly, you are trying to make a classless society. That's what communists also tried in Russia. Now communism has collapsed. So many isms have come and gone because when you try to, even our five fingers are not same, isn't it? Can you make all your fingers the same size? Then you should be ready to cut your fingers. You have to make them same size. Thumb is stout. This finger is the thinnest. And it is also the shortest. This is the longest finger. So it's of different sizes. Similarly, people are of different talents and they are going to do different things. And you can't change it. Of course, he made up his mind that we will make a classless society when I grow up and this untouchability should be stopped. And then when he grew up, he wanted to refer to the Shastra and check what God has got to say about all these things, this touchability, untouchability and all. So when he read Manusmriti, in Manusmriti these divisions are explained. Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, all these things are explained. And Manusmriti also explains that Brahma is the leader of the society and he gives wisdom to all the other people. When he read such things, he became very disturbed. He thought, what is this? Why should one class be the leader, other class should be subordinate? And why should people be treated like this? See, there were also times when in some temples, the Shudras were not allowed to enter the temple. The reason was, sometimes the temple premises were so big that within the temple premises there would be some mandapam. You know mandapam? Mandap means, you all understand what is mandap? Small mandaps will be there. And when they would allow all kinds of people to come, sometimes these people who are not actually God conscious, who are not interested in God, they would come there and just to go to the mandaps and do illicit sex or do some abominable activity. Sometimes you even find in our garden, some boys, girls come and they go into the garden to have fun. Actually, this is the meaning of Shudra. The temple is meant for worshipping God, not for doing sense gratification. So the restriction was made due to lack of cleanliness and due to lack of proper behavior. So the restriction was made. Even today, if you go to Jagannath Puri, they write only Hindus are allowed. You know, it's written. Foreigners are not allowed. Why? With my own eyes, I saw once a foreign boy and a girl. The foreign boy was wearing a shorts, you know, and he was putting his hands in the shoulders of the girl. And girl was also wearing very scarcely any dress in the body. And they are trying to enter the temple. So the temple is a very holy place. temple is not a place to expose your body and show to others. So they are restricted from entering the temple. This is the reason why this restriction was made. But later on it became a ritual. That even great devotee, if he is low-born, he will not be allowed. Utter foolishness. Which was followed. But if you see, in our ISKCON, we come in Brahma Marga Gaudiya Sampradaya. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in order to destroy this kind of misconceptions in society, he made Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur is one who was born in a Muslim family. But he became a great devotee of Krishna. So he called him as Namacharya. He made him Namacharya. Namacharya means one who is the proponent of the holy name, Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Although whole society wondered, how can this person who is low-born could be elevated to such a position? Yes, he was elevated. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed how anybody from any caste, color, race, nationality can become a great devotee of Krishna. Similarly, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself is a Dvija, a great Brahmana by quality and by birth, and he is also a sannyasi, carrying student sannyasi, he is a great sannyasi. But when he went to south, the banks of Godavari, he met Ramananda Rai, who was apparently considered a Shudra. And he was a Grihastha. He was married and he was also a Shudra. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, Ramananda Rai, tell me the esoteric principles of bhakti. And tell me what is the highest dharma. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Sanyasi heard from him. What does that show? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Kibhavyutta Kibhanyasi Shudra Kenanai, Jai Krishna Katyaveti, Sevi Guru Hai. Whether one is a Shudra or a Kibhavyutta Kibhanyasi, whether one is a Brahmana or a Shudra, Shudra Kenanai, whether one is a Shudra, it is immaterial. If one accepts the path of Krishna Bhakti, then he is the most exalted, he says. Because that is on a spiritual platform. So now there are two levels. The highest is the spiritual platform of Vaishnava, where there is no discrimination. Everyone understands that. But there is another platform, and a material platform. If you see, the Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra categorization is done for the smooth functioning of society, the Vedic society. Just like as one of the devotees was explaining last week, that in a company we have a few manager class of people, and there are other class of people who are working in the machines, and there are others who are doing accounting of the money, finance department, and there is the R&D, research and development department. So different classes of people are doing different things in a company, and there is no fight in the company. Why you made him managing director? Our managing director doesn't say, now let me work in a lathe. You don't find that. So these are already going on because of their propensities. Please mind you, this is a very important point. One of the boys last week was arguing that all these propensities come because of the training they get. So according to him, the one who is working in a lathe, if he was trained in education, he would have joined R&D department. Of course, if you want to argue for the sake of argument, you can argue. There is no end to the argument. But anybody with little common sense can appreciate this point, that we all have certain natural propensities. How many of you agree with me? That we have certain natural propensities. Everyone raises the hand. Very good. So this is your understanding this concept. Huh? See, there is something even managers discuss about, something called as unique potential. You know what is the meaning of unique potential? Unique potential in you is that ability in you which helps you to learn a particular field very quickly. You can do that field very quickly. For example, some of you may have an acumen for mathematics. Any problem given, you will immediately solve it. Or some of you have a good sense of music, that if you sit in the harmonium, you can play very, very complex music and you can sing. Or somebody is singing in Hindustani music. But now other person might be thinking, what is this? He is wasting his time, shouting like that. But there is somebody else sitting in front of the TV watching it for 2 hours, isn't it? And somebody has a tendency for sports, to play cricket or to play football or volleyball, something like that. So every one of us has a different natural potential. It's called a unique potential that we all have in us. That is how the Vedic life also this categorization was done. Not with any bad motive of categorizing people and making superior inferior category. No. It was never done with that kind of motive. And you will see, even in companies now, there is a book written by one very famous businessman. I have the book with me. If any of you are interested, you can see. This book is Bhagavad Gita for managers. There is a book. So based on Bhagavad Gita, this fellow has come out with so many lessons on Mahabharata. So he's telling, in the beginning, the first page of the book has offered it. I offered this book to Lord Sri Krishna, who is the supreme hero, like that he has written. So offered it to Krishna. So that he says how, in the Vedic times, people's full potential was used. Every one of us has some potential. And we can utilize our potential to the fullest extent. Our bodily potential, what we have, our mental potential, intellectual potential, and ultimately utilize all these potentials for the ultimate purpose of becoming a devotee of Krishna. Worshipping the Lord and achieving perfection in our life. Otherwise what happens, you have some potential but you are told to do something else. And somebody else has another potential, he is told to do something else. Ultimately society suffers. Because everyone is not utilized to his full potential. If you see, you will be surprised, in NASA, abroad, majority of the people I heard are from India. Indians are very intellectual, very intelligent, because if you see, the Vedas originally were spoken by the Lord in India, written in India. And the Vedic life is a pure life, God conscious life, and lots of people who are intellectual, they have been spreading the Vedic message from India. Actually, Bharatvarsh is supposed to act as a beacon light for the whole world. So, people from India, they have intelligence, but now that they are not taught the Vedas, what are they doing with the intelligence? They are using the same intelligence for studying some other material subject. Like they study applied mechanics, or fluid mechanics, or electronics, or computer science, or medical. They study different things like that. So, I was telling this boy, anybody who is intelligent and wiser than the masses, he is certainly a Brahmana. So I told him, this Ambedkar, he certainly was wiser than the other masses. Because he rose to the occasion and wanted to bring about a revolution. Just like Mandela did in Africa. Isn't it? The blacks were so much persecuted. So then Mandela became a leader. And he was very wise. And he was very intelligent. So he rose above the common masses and then had a fight. Now you can see they have got so much freedom. I told him, suddenly, what Dr. Ambedkar has done to the other people, it's laudable, he's trying to do some good to the people. But one very important thing, when you try to do good to people, we have to do it in a God-conscious way. In South India, there was a famous poet called Subramanya Bharati. So he also didn't like these classes, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. So he went to the slums, along with many Janayu. You know Janayu, the sacred thread? And he started putting sacred thread to all the slum people and saying, now you are a Brahman. I am making you a Brahman. Do you think one can become Brahman by wearing sacred thread? Simply wearing a sacred thread. One has to have the qualities of a Brahman. Similarly, one very great leader, you all know, he made people into Harijanas. You know the meaning of Harijana? Hari means Krishna. Jana means people. Harijana means those who are devotees of Lord Hari. Of course, Gandhi's concern for the people should certainly be appreciated. He also felt that the people should not suffer. But he wanted to give them good, but how to give good is very important, correct? Can you just take anybody and everybody and just make him a Harijan? Nowadays, Harijan is considered a bad word sometimes to people. Because they don't understand what is Harijana. Even Harijans themselves don't know what is Harijan. It's not that you go to Harijana's house and you find he's worshipping Krishna every morning. Doing Mangalarti in his house and chanting and dancing. They don't find that. Very unfortunate. So, Ambedkar, what he did to the downtrodden people, he elevated them, he gave them some seats. I heard that, they are given now good facilities. So it is simply pampering the body. But what about the soul? If you just like the car, if you are giving petrol to the car and you starve the driver, how will he drive? Similarly, you are feeding, you are giving nice seats for the people. And giving them nice food, clothing, shelter, everything. But what about the soul within? We are not helping that. So if we are not educating them in the Vedas, then what will they do? Will they be able to do any good to society? So this was the talk. You were telling that actually this class should not be there. But today we were discussing how these kind of classes are made according to everyone's propensity and everyone's quality, which is innate in everyone. So if you don't believe in it, Prabhupada showed how it is true. When Srila Prabhupada went to the West and he was preaching in America, there were many people who were apparently hippies. Somebody has asked a question about Shudra. If everyone is a Shudra in Kali Yuga, we say, everyone is not a Shudra. Everyone looks like a Shudra. Because they are covered over. When Prabhupada saw the hippies, He was convinced that these are all very intelligent people. Just like sometimes you find a gold in the dustbin. Similarly, these are intelligent people wanting to go away from the hackneyed routine of the society and to search for higher truths. They have adopted this hippie life. So Prabhupada teaches them, purified them, and then he made the hippies into happy, as he said. And then many of them, they shaved up, they wore saffron robes, they wore kantamala, they wore tilak, they were chanting, dancing. Some of them wanted to get married, they got married, and husband and wife, they devoted their lives to ISKCON society. How somebody who was so much downtrodden, Prabhupada elevated him as a Vaishnava. Because although in Kali Yuga everyone is considered a Shudra because of their superficial covering, one can be elevated to the platform of Vaishnava. Vaishnava is the highest platform. But we discuss about this Brahma Chitra Vaishya Shudra because Prabhupada said, I am going everywhere around the world to find out the Brahmanas. What does that mean? I want to find out those who are intellectual class, who are misusing their intellect to produce bombs and kill the people of the world. Like a scientist is certainly considered a Brahmana. Scientists are a poet or a philosopher or an engineer, doctor. They are considered Brahmanas. But they are having a misused intelligence. We can precisely call them as perverted genius. How is this word, perverted genius? Perverted genius means he is genius, but his intelligence is used in the wrong direction. One skinny scientist can create a bomb which will kill a million people. He has intelligence, but it is not rightly directed. So our purpose of preaching to engineers and doctors is that they will use this intelligence in Lord's service. Like the hippies, they later on became happy. And now many of those great Americans have become greatly saintly people. They are teaching Bhagavad Gita even in India. You can see them. I can show them. I can show hundreds of them to you. So in this way, our goal is to become a Vaishnava. So whether you call him as a Brahmana Vaishnava or a Kshatriya Vaishnava, you don't see like that. Vaishnava is completely surpassing everything. So I would like to conclude by making this point that ISKCON is not propagating any caste system in Kali Yuga. But ISKCON is propagating Vaishnavism, Vaishnava culture, where everyone has to become devotee. And within that Vaishnavism, somebody who has the nature of a Brahmana will do that service of a Brahmana. Like Yajan, Yajan, Patan, Patan, which is said. Or somebody has the nature of Shudra, he will do the activity of Shudra. Somebody has the nature of Vaishya, he will do the activity of Vaishya. But a Shudra will not be considered inferior. Why? Because on Vaishnava platform, everyone is seen equally. So this is called as Daivi Varnashram. So there are two Varnashram. Vedic Varnashram is on the natural platform. And Daivi Varnashram is on a spiritual platform. So it goes beyond the Vedic Varnashram. So I'll conclude here. And can we pass them to ask questions, or you would like to see the questions and answers? Okay, we all have given questions now. So I'll request all the devotees one after another to answer your questions. And your turn will come. And Prabhupada is saying that some of the questions which you had asked in this paper would have been probably answered. So, if any of you would like to ask questions directly, then you can go like this one by one and then answer the questions. Send the mic around. And others may be a little shy to ask. In the case, we'll check the questions whether they are covered or not. In the second. You also check. If you are very shy to ask, then your turn will come. When they check the question. Otherwise, please feel free to ask. Yeah.
Is that too much? I am very thankful if you answer some of the questions in Hindi, because there are many devotees around in Sesam understanding English very well.
Who has difficulty in understanding English?
They may be thankful as well, not even understanding this word also. That who wants to know India?
Kitne logon ko angrezi samajh mein nahi aata hai? Kitne log aise? Not even one.
They may feel shy, probably.
No. There is no need to feel shy. Actually, it is our policy that we preach in English. Generally, we have been preaching in English even in the past. And there is a translation going on there. Agar kisi ko Hindi mein sunna hai, to udhar piche jo Murad pe baithe hain, udhar anuvad chal raha hai udhar, udhar jaakar baith sakte hain. Kyunki lagbhag aapne se 5 logon ko shayad angrezi samajh mein nahi aayega, to udhar jayenge to aapko anuvad milega udhar. Correct? So he will do the translation for them.
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, I am coming from Bangalore. Myself is Karan, I am coming from Bangalore. So I seen one day,
increase the volume. My volume is very less.
Hare Krishna. I went to ISKCON Jagannath Temple in Bangalore. So there I had prasadam.
You have to keep the liquid of the food of dal and rice. And in the morning, when they get a lot of insects, they take the birth there. Then you have put in the hot kava and you have to kill crores of small innocent jivas. Then you are able to prepare the set dosa. So I took the caution that lot of killings is there, so it's not good to eat this, giving lot of pain to them and satisfy our tongue. So the Prabhuji who was sitting very next to me, he told that you offer it to the Krishna and then it will be free from any sinful reaction. So I told him that I am not bothered by any sinful reaction that will come to later. But presently, if I tell you to kill your own son and eat it, you will be killed from any sinful reaction.
I got your question.
Yeah.
My voice is so loud. I got your question.
Hare Krishna.
Okay. Have you heard of a class of people called vegans? You know vegans? You see, all over the world nowadays, there is a lot of talk going on about protection of animals. Animals and birds and everything. Of course, these people don't kill animals. We also appreciate them for that. But then they go one step ahead and say, we should not even drink milk also. Why? Because milk is coming from the body of an animal. It is not coming from the plant. So we should not drink it. And besides that, the milk is a transformation of the blood of the cow. And it should not be taken because it should be drunk by the calf only. You know, we are preventing the calf from drinking. That is sin. So we should allow the calf to drink and we should not drink milk. So this is the interpretation that vegans have given. But if you see the Shastra, what Shastra says that only the calf should be allowed to drink 1/4 of the milk that mother can give. If the calf drinks the whole milk, the calf will die. You know that? So this is explained in the Vedas. And besides that, the Shastra says, although milk is the transformation of blood of the cow, this is the way you can get the energy from the cow, not by cutting the throat of the cow and eating the cow. So now, we are following to the Vedas. If Vedas tell us that you eat meat, we will eat meat. If Vedas say, you eat only veg, we eat only veg. So that is our standard. So first of all, one has to come to the point of accepting this statement, that whatever the Vedas say, I will follow. Because Suras and Asuras, if you see, only difference is, Suras are those who follow the Vedas. Asuras are those who don't want to follow the Vedas. So if we want to act according to what our mind and intellect and our logic and reasoning says, then we will do whatever we want to do. Now, if you go to the Vedas, Vedas have allowed certain things, like for example, drinking the milk of a cow is permitted. You can give a vegan's argument and say that coming from animal body, so we should not drink. But the Vedas say, you drink milk, it directly goes to your brain and nourishes the brain, and you get the sufficient intelligence to understand the Vedas more. So should I follow Vedas or should I follow a vegan? Tell me. Should I follow Vedas or I follow a vegan? So vegans are people who think they are more intelligent than the Vedas. Vedas have been breathed out by the absolute truth. Lord has given the Vedas. If we think we are having a most outer intellect, then we can force ourselves to be so. Vedas are giving everything and they have reason for everything. So there are things in Vedas for which you have explanation. For example, if you touch stool, you have to immediately take a bath. Whereas if you touch cow dung, that's considered auspicious. Isn't it? So this is what happened in the Vedas like that. Now scientists may find and say there are so many antiseptic elements in the cow dung, that touching it you become more pure or whatever, you know, it actually benefits your body. But although a Vedic follower may not be able to give such a reason, he has complete faith in the Vedas, what the Vedas say. And in the Vedas, there are many food items mentioned which a vegetarian is allowed to consume. For example, idlis and dosas, these things are coming from time old age, from long, long ago. These things have been coming, people have been making.
And these things are permitted. Like I was telling, Brahmanas are allowed to drink milk, although it comes from the body of an animal. And then these items are allowed. As far as killing is concerned, Vedas have clearly mentioned, Jivo Jivasya Jivanam. One Jivatma can survive only by killing another. Like for example, a fly will be eaten by a frog. A frog will be eaten by a snake. And so on, like this. The cycle goes on. Similarly, for human beings, whatever the Vedas prescribe, we accept it. Vedas say you can make dosa, you can make idli, you can drink milk. So we take it. Not that now I am a scientist, I have a microscope now, I have found out about the germs, how many germs are being killed. That means, you see, even the silkworm, you know, the silkworm uses whole life. For example, the silk is made from that. But silk is considered very pure. If you see, silk is considered very, very pure. In the worship of God, silk is considered very, very pure. The perfection of life of a silkworm is to utilize his body in making that silk, which will be utilized in God's service. It will be put as a garment for God, like that. Now, because people are thinking body is ultimate, there is nothing beyond the body. Finally, you will say, oh my Lord, silkworm is being killed. Huh? Because you don't know anything beyond the body. Body is the only thing you know. So, beyond this body, there is soul, atma. Body is only a temporary vehicle. The silkworm, whose body is used in making the silk, he will attain a higher destination. He will get a human body. From there, he can practice Krishna consciousness very wonderfully. Like that. Even a plant, if a plant is killed, suddenly the plant feels pain. But then you cook and offer it to the Lord, then the plant will get a human body in the next life. And then he can make advancement in spiritual life like that. So, my precise answer is this. We accept the Vedas. Vedas say you can eat it, we eat it. In fact, Vedas, the Bhagavad Gita said there is no problem in eating meat. We would eat meat. But Lord Krishna clearly says, you cannot eat meat. He says, patram, pushpam, phalam, toyam, he has said, what can be eaten? So, this is a very simple answer, that if you don't know what is right and what is wrong, you shouldn't put our intellect there to understand. But you follow what is the word of God. Because there is nothing beyond word of God. If God says this is right, you do what is right. God says this is wrong, don't do it, you don't do it. Very simple. Somebody else has a question?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Prabhuji is very happy to see that in ISKCON, there is no discrimination being followed. Nobody asks your religion, nobody asks your caste. My problem is, when you talk about the caste system, it might be correct, but why to follow according to by birth? I agree with you that some people have different qualities, but why to go by birth? If we go in Vedic terms, in Vedic age, even you give the example of the Vidur, after the death of Pandu, because Dhritarashtra was blind, and after death of Pandu, he deserves to become the king of Hastinapur, but he himself refuses. I am a Dasi Putra, I don't deserve to be a king of that. Okay, it might be correct on that time because society structure was different and society might not accept him. But nowadays, it is not possible. Even a person born in a low caste family, if he has a quality and people like him, he can become the head of the state, head of the industry, head of the family. So why to talk about all? My question is, why to always go to the Vedas and scriptures? Because that was written 5,000 years ago. On that time, circumstances were different, society was different. And my second question is, why this thing?
So there are two parts in your question. One is why to follow the Vedas for the caste discrimination, and one is why to follow by birth, isn't it?
Why to by birth only? Okay, might be there is a different qualities are there for different people. But why only on birth?
Generally, throughout the history, till date, no one discriminates Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra by birth. Only because of the less intelligent leaders of the today's society. Because of them, these problems are being created. As far as Vidur is concerned, he was a Dasi Putra, certainly. By birth, he was a Shudra. And he himself volunteered, I don't want to be. That is out of his humility. But if you see, he didn't become a king as a Kshatriya, but he became the minister who is a Brahmana, directing the Kshatriya. You understand? So he is superior than even Dhritarashtra because he is giving guidance to a Kshatriya. That is the role of a Brahmana. So he was not playing the role of a Kshatriya, but playing the role of a Brahmana. Is it there? What do you feel?
Not bad, but what is he deserves to be the head of the state. Okay, he becomes the advisor, but
he... Yeah, if he becomes the head of the state, then who will guide him? A Brahmana is supposed to guide a Kshatriya, but he plays the... So if he plays the role of a Kshatriya, there is no Brahman to guide the society. And
I think because he does not become the head of the state, that's why the whole Mahabharata was in fought.
No.
He does not become the head of the state.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. Whenever I ask you a question, that time you can answer, please.
Sorry, Bhavul.
So as you see, like in the case of Chanakya Pandit, he was a Brahmana and he was guiding Chandragupta Maurya, isn't it? And there are many such intellectual class of people who are guiding the Kshatriyas. In fact, there are many sages in the history. When king used to sit in his palace, and when the sages used to come, the Brahmanas, he used to immediately get down, give the glory to the sages and respect him and hear instructions from him. That is the thing. As far as Mahabharata is concerned, the war was not fought because of this issue. That why Vidura was not made the king. To be clarified, Mahabharata was fought because Yudhishthir, as a Brahman, as a Kshatriya, leader of a society, was not allowed to become a leader, and fools like Duryodhan were supposed to be a leader. That's why the whole problem was aroused. And Vidur, being the intelligent class of person, he knew what is good for the society. He knew that Yudhishthir, being the intelligent person, knows how to rule the kingdom, should be made a king. But someone wanted Duryodhan to be a king, Vidur opposed that. Because that is the role of a Brahmana. No one stopped Vidur from giving any instructions or any guidance. He was respected in the whole of Hastinapur. You understand? So that is not the controversy. Now as far as Vedas are concerned, that why Vedas are discriminating because of all these things, we will not accept the Vedas. That is not your question?
No, I am not saying not accepting the Vedas, but some of the things, because that was written in 5,000 years ago.
More than 5,000 years ago.
So if they were written 5,000 years ago, but they were written for whom?
Not for the Pandavas, not for the Kauravas, they were written for us.
So some of the things might be relevant today, in today's circumstances.
All things are relevant today. Problem is that we don't know what is relevant. That's why we say forget it. See, we cannot catch the grapes, so we say forget it. The grapes are all relevant to us. That is not the intention. The thing is that Vedas are written for us. Vyasadeva, 5,000 years ago, he wrote the Vedas. He said, why did he write it? If it is not for us, why did he write it? Initially, people used to hear Vedas just by hearing it. But Vyasadeva knew that the fools of Kali Yuga cannot understand without reading it. So he wrote it. Now, tell me whom the Vedas are written for. For those who cannot remember easily?
Yeah.
So who cannot remember easily? People of Kali Yuga. And for them the Vedas are written. As simple as that. But the problem is that we don't want to accept the Vedas and we find loopholes and try to escape by saying that Vedas are wrong. We don't even know what are the Vedas. A person sitting in a panwala shop, he said the chemistry person is wrong. He don't know what is H2SO4. He does not know anything. He says the chemistry professor is wrong. Whom to believe? Yes? Similarly, the so-called leaders of the society, not to follow the rules of the Vedas, claim that the Vedas are useless, don't follow it. But does that mean we should simply accept, find out from the Vedas whether it is relevant or not? Can you tell any example in the Vedas which is not relevant?
First of all, example is like Vedas have a, I don't know exactly, but yes, they have differentiated between woman and man. The things which a man can do,
sorry to interrupt, that will be discussed next week. So we don't want to have a mixture of topics.
I will just give you an example.
Okay.
But today's circumstances are such, we can't, for example, I am a managing director of a company. I can't, if I am a managing director of a company, I can't discriminate between man and woman. If woman is intelligent, she is performing, I have to give him a full credit. I can't differentiate between.
Yeah. So
why should I refer to, like, today's whole thing depends on the quality and the personality and...
We are talking about Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra.
I'm just talking about, I'm just giving an example.
Yeah.
Like Vedas discriminate between man and woman. If man is...
Yeah, Vedas discriminate, then women are allowed to beget children. If you say Vedas are wrong, then you beget a children and show.
What I am saying 100%, what I am saying, I am not saying reject the Vedas, what I am saying many of the things. I am not a scholar, I am not read the Vedas, but whatever I listen from you, I am just making the inferences, and whatever I read in newspaper and...
The problem is there. So better not read newspapers. We can find out from the Vedas why discrimination is being made. And then, wherever necessary discrimination is made, wherever not necessary discrimination is not made. You understand? So there are some places where you need to make discrimination. You understand? Men have more strength physically, women have more strength emotionally. There are various aspects we don't want to go into those.
Yeah, aspects. Definitely.
So let us not discuss those things. Other things, is the answer clarifying?
My second thing is, why this thing only exists in the very small part of this planet, only in India? Well, there is a population of 5 Arabs in the world, and this,
yeah?
The whole population of this earth is more than 5 Arabs. But this thing only exists in this 50 crore people. Why only in this? If these are all created by God, why only in this part of the world? These type of things.
It's not only, actually we are thinking that it was existing only in the small patch of land called as India. But when we say Bharatvarsha, it refers to the whole globe. Because now in the recent excavations they have found, and like deity of Mahalakshmi found in America, and deity of Ganapati found in Russia. So why do you find such things in the excavation? That means these deities have been worshipped. Even in Paris, there is a temple even today, there are people who wear the sacred thread, and they worship a monkey god. Actually, they don't know that monkey god is Hanuman. They call him by a different name. So they also have some Sanskrit verses in Paris, if you see. So it is very surprising for a modern man how these things existed in different parts of the globe. But such culture has existed all over the globe. But now gradually it has shrunk and come only to the small patch of land called India. Otherwise it existed. There is another point, that Vedas are applicable at all times, place and circumstances. But in order to know how to apply Vedas in my life, like your life, for example, we need the help of a spiritual master, guru, who can tell us how to apply according to time, place, circumstance. But we should not be under the notion that Vedas are not applicable today. See, Vedas talk about Atma, the soul, and God, who is eternal master of everyone, and the connection between Atma and God. This will never change. Even if science advances to great heights, this fact will never change. We are the Atma, and we are covered by this body, and we are suffering. See, sufferings of old age, have they been mitigated? Sufferings of death can never be solved by science. So science may advance, but the import of the Vedas, that's always there at all times. But we need guidance. Like now we are meeting in this gathering today, so that we can get the doubt clarified about what the Vedas are saying. Otherwise, you know, if we read the Vedas ourselves, it becomes difficult to understand why Vedas are saying like this. Even we all had such questions before. But the coming together and discussing Vedas, then you understand according to time, place and circumstance how the Vedas are applied. Krishna. Anybody else has a question?
Hare Krishna.
I think it's important to make this point also, that according to the situation in which we are existing, the Vedas say, but in this age, everyone should chant the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Irrespective of which class you belong to, which gender you belong to, which country you belong to. So, if you are sincerely wanting to know whether Vedas are applicable at all times, and you want to sincerely follow it, this is the direction Vedas give. They accept a spiritual master, chant the holy name. And there are many books written by Srila Prabhupada. You know, Srila Prabhupada went to the West and he addressed issues like abortion, cow slaughter. These are modern issues. Prabhupada gave a Vedic perspective of the modern issues. So I request you that you join one of the library and read these books to understand how the Vedas are relevant even in the modern times. See, Vedas are not relevant, you won't be sitting here today. Here, everyone sitting here, none of us is illiterate here. We are not people who have been blindly dragged away with no education, and somebody told us we are just following. We all have studied, like all of you have studied, and after that we have studied the Vedas and saw that they are very relevant to our lives. Otherwise, why are we sitting and speaking about it? So it's very easy to make a sitting remark that Vedas are not relevant, but first we have to know the Vedas to check out whether they are relevant or not. Anybody else has a question?
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, we discussed that in Vedic times, people were happy in all varnashrams. But once Bhaktivikas Maharaj said that the meaning of Shudra is one who always laments. So this is contradictory, that
we discussed that all were happy in Vedic times in all the Varnashrams, but he told that meaning of Shudra is one who always laments.
As it was told, a Shudra is one who always laments, which means that it is his general tendency. Just like a small child, if he is given one biscuit and the mother has a pack of biscuits and she gives two biscuits to a younger child, then the elder child, he cries more. He says, why two biscuits for him? Why not the whole packet for me? So it is generally a provocation, the tendency of him to lament. As far as discussing over Varnashram Dharma, everybody was happy. They were happy because they were situated in their constitutional position. As a Brahmana, he would be studying the Vedas, teaching the Vedas. As a Kshatriya, protecting the citizens. As a Vaishya, certain other classes and mercantile classes and all. And in Shudra, as far as they are following the principles of serving the other classes, they will be happy. But a general tendency is whenever they are provoked, they are always lamenting. That was a general consideration.
Also, the Shudras, even in the Vedic times, had a nature to take to wine, women, and such things, bad activities, even in Vedic times. There are evidences to show that. So anybody who is indulging in this attraction to wealth, wine, women, www, you can remember this, wine, wealth, women, anybody who is attracted, he has to lament. Hankering and lamentation, these two will be there always. So those Shudras, even in Vedic times, whether they are in Vedic times or now, Shudra has a nature to have hankering and lamentation, these two things. Because indulging in these things freely. Like sometimes I was telling the example of Rikshawala, you have seen? If Rikshawala earns 5,000 rupees, he is able to save only 1,000 rupees. Because he goes for all these bad things. Always you find him taking tobacco and drinking liquor and going for other women. These kind of habits. These are the things which make him lament. And whether it is ancient time or modern time, it's not that in ancient times they were living very pure lives. Even in ancient times, there are evidences to show that they were indulging in these kind of practices. It certainly makes them lament. Anybody else? Haribol, where is
you said you described very nicely about the four castes and
the mic is on, is it on?
You described very nicely about these four castes, and you also said finally that Shudra also used to be happy whatever he gets from other castes by serving them. But today in modern world, what is happening is irrespective of the caste, whether it is Brahmana or Kshatriya, because everybody is doing the same work. You will take any industry. Okay? So does it mean that, and what they are doing, they are earning and they want more earning, right? So does it mean that we are going beyond Sutra's stage? And if that is true, how to correct ourselves by still continuing, because you need to feed the family. So you have to work, whatever may be the caste. But still how to convert or divert ourselves into this part of Krishna consciousness. That's my.
Hare Krishna. Kaliya is described at the age of pre-degradation. So, if you read in the Bhagavatam, even the Shudras have to follow certain regulatory principles, which most people in Kaliya don't follow.
is true. That in Kaliga, the society has gone to very degraded levels. In fact, people with no sort of qualities, in fact, they end up becoming leaders of society. We saw in one of the, in the leading nation of the world, the president had to be impeached because of illicit activities. So he had no control over things, and such a person became the president. So, Shakunita was saying that in Kaliga, you have government as the Shudras, by the Shudras, and for the Shudras. So, in this situation, a society is certainly heading towards chaos, because there are no Brahmanas who can guide society. But the Bhagavatam describes that Kali Deshu Nirmayaji, Asti Yuko Mahanjana, Kirtana Vini Krishnasya, Mukta Sanda Paramrajit. Kali is the ocean of souls. And if we start analyzing how much society is degraded, there is no limit to it. But Asti Yuko Mahanjana. There is one very great quality of this speech. That is, Kirtana Vini Krishnasya, Mukta Sanda Paramrajit. By then Krishna Kirtan, by chanting the Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. By chanting this Mahamantra, a person can purify his heart. And with the purified heart, he can elevate himself. So the world is certainly the greatest place. But that does not mean I am living in this world, I also have to be depleted. I can become purified. And to whatever extent is possible, a person can purify those others around him by the chanting of this holy name. So this world is certainly going to pieces. But those who are intelligent, they can take to chanting and they can remain at peace. And if they can help others, they can also remain at peace. So by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one can find peace and happiness even in the Kali Yuga. That is what the Krishna consciousness movement is propagating. And to whatever extent is possible, we can organize society so that the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra can be facilitated. But the essential quality is chanting. And by this, all of the so many difficulties around us, we can stay pure and we can ourselves go back home, back to God.
As far as the expenditure of the family is concerned, you are telling the predicament of the modern man, how we need more and more to run the family and do our activities. The Shastra say that if we follow these four regulative principles strictly, no meat eating, no gambling, no form of intoxication, and no illicit sex. By following these four principles and chanting Hare Krishna, then one's heart gradually becomes purified, as you're telling, and then one's needs become very reduced. There are evidences to show you that in our congregation, a gentleman who was earning like 25,000-30,000, now he was earning like 40,000-50,000. He restored to a job which now pays him only some 10,000-12,000, for example. So it pays him only 12,000 or so. So now he's very happy with this money. So when one gets very little money, how can he be satisfied? He would be earning 40,000 otherwise. So how somebody who has such higher prospects gave up those prospects and took up a job which pays him just a meager amount and is happy? That means Krishna consciousness teaches us how to be self-satisfied from within, even with the less amount of money that we earn. If you see, in actuality, a husband and a wife and children, they can live a very happy life with meager amount of money. But in Kali Yuga situation, they have brought about things like credit card, installment schemes, and so many advertisements, that if our mind and senses are not controlled, then you would be spending about 5 times what you are spending every month. So the Kali Yuga approach is like this. First, create greed in your heart and make you take credit card and spend so much money, and later on work like a donkey to pay for that. Isn't it? So, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wonderfully said now, that we can become wise, we can become intelligent, but we don't have to be fooled by these advertisements. We will only take what we need for our minimal survival. And then your expenditure is reduced, so you also don't have to work so hard like that. Rather, you can focus all your energies on Krishna and purify our existence, and his body is like a springboard from where you can take a dive and go to the spiritual world. So one can utilize this body, which is like making the best out of bad bargain. So that is what one should do in this age. See, I was asking in one of the meetings before, like we all have several needs in our lives and we are very greedy. I was asking a question, how much do you think will satisfy you? So somebody may say, you know, at least I should have a bank balance of 5 lakhs. Somebody thinks at least 50 lakhs. Somebody thinks even 50 crores is not enough. So everyone has different levels like that. So we are never going to be satisfied. So the satisfaction will come only when we purify our heart. The greedy mentality should go away. And it's an experience of everyone. You can ask, you are coming and chanting regularly, that one's outlook of life completely changes when one comes to Krishna consciousness. Anybody else has a question?
So, while the next question is being sorted, and I have one debating, who is this tremendous book distribution? We have to distribute only one book, the Laws of Nature. So, the Laws of Nature, if you see, this book has a picture on the back side of a person breaking the four regulatory principles, indicating gambling, intoxication, etc. And then he is getting the current reaction. A person who tries animals, he gets tired himself in the next life. So you distribute the book in enormous quantities. So another year he asked him, how do you distribute so many books? So he said, come with me. So then he went to the railway station. And then he said, announce him, this book will tell you how to double your salary. So immediately 50 people came all around him. And then he distributed them copies. And he turned around and see a ticket. They turned around and they saw this picture. The person getting the current reaction. He said, what do you mean? How do you double your salary? He said, if you read this book, you stop eating sex. You stop eating. You stop gambling. You stop intoxication. And this will decrease your expenditure by 50%.
In many pictures of Krishna, we see that the thread. But as Krishna born in Vaishya family and then he was a king, how is it so? Not only Krishna, but other incarnations of Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Krishna born in the mode.
Yeah. So here, according to the question, whoever has asked this. So where Krishna is wearing a sacred thread in some incarnations, whereas he is born in a Vaishya family, and but he is wearing the sacred thread, or sometimes he incarnates and he is acting as a different person, as a Shudra, or as a, sometimes he is born as a pig, not even as a human being. So how to understand this? So this point has to be understood, that it's Krishna. Krishna says, Chatur Varna Maya System Guna Karma Vibhagasya. It's Krishna who has made this Varnashrama system. Just like a king, or just like a father of a family, the leader of the family, the male member, he may make a rule for his child that, for his child who is maybe 12 years of age, that he should come back home before 7 o'clock in the evening. After that, it's not safe for you. But the father himself may come at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock in the night. So he may say, what is this? The father has made the rule. How can he break the rule? The father has made the rule for the people for whom it is important to be followed. He is not bound by the rule. He is the maker of the rule, and any time he can break the rule also. The rule doesn't apply to the maker of the rule in case of Krishna. So here, when Krishna is coming here in different incarnations, because he has made the rule for us, for people who have accepted human bodies in this material world, for us this system is made for harmony, this Varnashrama system. And we follow the system which God has made for us so that we can live a life of harmony. We have to follow. But because he is the maker of the rule, he doesn't need to follow. Because actually he comes here to make harmony. In spite of he giving these rules, we are not following those rules. And that creates disharmony in today's society. So he comes here to further help us in making harmony. So by making these rules, this Varnashrama system, he has helped the society so that they can avoid chaos, which is the nature of especially this Kali Yuga. Quarrel and hypocrisy, this is the nature of this age that will be full of quarrel. But to avoid the quarrel as much as possible, Lord has given scriptures, and anybody who abides by the rules of the scriptures, which includes Varnashrama system,
he can lead a life of peace. So there's no purpose when all has made the rule, but when he comes, he need not follow the rule because he is the person who has made the rule. It is not compulsory for him to follow. Just like I gave the example of the father, he has made the rule for his child. So the child can be safe if he follows the rule if he comes back at 7 o'clock. But the father, if he, even if he comes late, he is not, he is safe already. So that's the point that has to be understood, that Krishna, because he is beyond these rules and regulations of this material world, he has made the rules for people in the jail. Just like a prime minister of a country, he can at any time come in the jail and meet anybody from a jail. He can come in at any time, go out at any time. But the prisoners cannot say, what is this? The prime minister is coming, going out at any time. Even we'll do it. For them the rule is there because they are criminals. Because they have disobeyed the laws of the city or the country, they've been put in the jail. Therefore they have to follow the rules of the jail. And when Krishna comes to this material world, he is not bound by the laws of this material world. That's the main person. He need not follow any of the varnashram system. He can come as a, in different pastimes when he performs, he can sometimes act as a Vaishya, a Shudra, a Kshatriya, or a Brahma, whichever he likes. But actually, all these rules don't apply to him. Because he comes here as a human being whenever he comes. He also has to set an example. When he comes as a human being, he sometimes acts as a Brahma and shows by his example that how a Brahma should act. Or shows that so that Kshatriya, how Kshatriya should act. So when he comes as a human being, he also apparently follows the rules sometimes to show the society that he also should follow the rules. But that doesn't mean he is bound by those rules. Like the prime minister may come in the jail, but the rules of the jail don't apply to the prime minister. He can come and then he can go out at any time. So when Krishna comes here, when he comes here, he follows the rules to set an example for others. Otherwise they will say, Krishna is not following, why we need to follow. So when he comes here, he follows the rules. But still, he is not bound by the rules. As the people who have come here because of misuse of our independence, we have gone against the laws of God. So we have been put in this material world. And as long as we have been put in this material world, we have to follow the rules. But Krishna, when he comes, he is not thrown. He is not forced to stay in this material world. He comes here to help us, to perform pastimes for us, so that we can be attracted to his pastimes and get out of this world. So for our benefit, he comes. And he need not follow any of the rules of the rules that he has set for the people of this world. So rules are for the people of this world, not for Krishna. I hope the person who has asked this question is answered for him, otherwise you can clarify it. Okay.
Hare Krishna. If the Vedic society has been divided in before Varnashrama, then is the Shudras in that time also are indulging in bad activities, and the system itself is, if someone follows in that system, if someone is there in the system, any ashram or any Varna, so he will go back to Godhead. But if the Shudras also they are for indulging in bad activities, how they will go back to Godhead? If they are...
Yeah, they can't. The Shudra can even become outcast. For example, if a Shudra becomes interested in eating a dog, then he's called a Chandala. He becomes outcast. If a Shudra one day eats cow flesh, which is not supposed to eat, then he becomes a Milecha. He goes out of the fourth class, below the fourth. So Prabhupada would say first class, second class, third class, fourth class, up to 10th class, he would say. So one can go on degrading also, outside the system.
You want the mic on? Hey, what? Who has a question?
The soul revolts against God in Vaikuntha is consequently put in material world as a jail. First of all, my question is, if soul is full of knowledge, why does it revolt? Secondly, what is the guarantee that if I take to Krishna consciousness, I won't revolt again once I reach God? If the soul is full of knowledge, then actually why does he revolt against God? So yes, actually there is no good reason why he should. So that's why it is called as a causeless unwillingness to serve God.
It's thoughtless actually, you know. There is no reason why he should be unwilling to serve God. But he has done it. So, we could see it in many ways. It's not that outrightly the soul in the spiritual world becomes an outright demon and comes here. It may not be exactly like that also. Like Prabhupada gives example that the soul in the spiritual world could have a desire, something like that I would want to do some kind of a creation for God, you know. So suddenly in the spiritual world he cannot create anything. So he has to come to the material world as Brahma or some Devata. But once a person comes to this world, even by any kind of desire, then once he comes to this material world, then he gets entangled in the laws of action and reaction, and then there is no limit to how much he can go down. So, certainly there are, this is the various possibilities by which a person could come here. And also we understand that although the soul is full of knowledge, still he is full of knowledge in his own way. That is, just like for example, you know, a glass is full with water, and ocean also is filled with water. So, it is full, but still, there is a, you know, limitation to it. That means if you, so similarly, the soul's knowledge, although it is full, it's not that, you know, he is fully aware of everything as Krishna is, for that matter. And Prabhupada would also say sometimes, just like, you know, suppose you are in the middle of an ocean, you are drowning, and there is somebody coming to save us, then the primary quest, the primary interest of us should be how to actually, you know, save ourselves and get into the boat. Okay? Rather, if we are more interested in asking, oh, you first tell me, how did I fall in this ocean? So that would not be very intelligent, because maybe later you can find out how you came, but the primary interest is to get out. And as far as the second part, as to what is the assurance that we will not come back, we accept Krishna's word. Krishna has explained in the Bhagavad Gita at least in 5-6 different shlokas, like, yad tatvan anivartante tatvama paramamama. That is, one who comes back to my abode will not return to this material world. So, we accept Krishna's word. That is, it is a fact that when we go back, we will not come. We can also understand it with a simple analogy. Like for example, if a father is sitting with a small child and they have lit a fire. So, the child, because he does not know anything about the fire, he may be perhaps tempted to put his finger into the fire. But the father tells him, you don't put it, so your hand will burn. But the child, just unwillingly, you know, he doesn't obey his father, he says, oh, let me just try it once, what will happen? So, he puts it, and then what happens? He gets badly burned, and then he immediately removes it out. Then now, you could ask the question, would the child put his finger again in the fire? He will not, because he has had his bad experience of burning his finger. He will never put. Even if you tell him, in one way you can say, oh, he can actually put. In fact, he can even jump in the fire. But he will not do, because he has experienced. And so these are ways in which we could understand that once we return back, we certainly would remember our past experiences in the material world, which are very, very bitter. And the point is also that we cannot just go back to the spiritual world just by chance or anything. You know, we have to actually practice the path of bhakti and purify ourselves completely. So when we go back, a person really, when he looks back, he understands that what kind of life he has led and how much misery he has suffered in separation from God. So suddenly he will never commit the same mistake. Okay.
That would be nice.
Why soul's nature is adamant? And when a soul is in spiritual world, he persisted, Lord, that I want to come in. I want to come in material world. He has opposed Lord that I have come in material world just like a small child. Why would his nature is adamant?
As Krishna was explaining, one thing is sure, that we are in the gutter. That part is sure, we are fallen into the gutter waters of big ocean. We are suffering. And the Shastra says the spiritual world is the original world, material world is like a perverted reflection. So when you see beauty, knowledge, strength, other things in this world, we certainly know there is some superior spiritual world. At least you have some little faith in the beginning. But then as you practice Krishna consciousness, then you get better and better and better and deeper insights about that world. One time, one sannyasi was telling, When you go there, you will know how you fell, he said. Huh? Because unless this blanket is covering you, this color is Pratyapatmika Shakti and Avaranatmika Shakti. Unless this Avaran is removed, you really cannot understand. Maybe intellectually we can give some, and like you were telling about the example of becoming Brahma, you know. So these things may intellectually satisfy us, okay, now I have understood how we fell, you know. But actually you can't get a complete answer unless you yourself go back there. See, inside the time domain, we are subject to time and three modes always. But when you surpass the time domain, then you can clearly see what made me fall. But at the current moment, we can confidently say we have fallen. We are suffering. So now we have to look for a way to get out of it.
Hare Krishna. There is a question here. So if it is said in Bhagavad Gita that it is better to perform one's duty perfectly than performing other's duty perfectly.
Can you understand the question?
Explain why it is like this.
And Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, where is it was? Shreyan Swadharmo Vigunaha Paradharmat Panishthitatma. Swadharma Nidhanam Swadharma Nidhanam Shreya Paradharma Bhayapaha. It says it's very dangerous for us to do somebody else's duty. If you are a Brahman, you should do Brahman's duty. If you are Kshatriya, you should do Kshatriya's duty. Why Krishna says this? Actually, it's a very good question because now we may be afraid that we should not be doing somebody else's duty by which you will cause havoc.
So, in this actually, one of the things I just want to say. But actually, nowadays it's the same. In Kaluga, there are so many politicians out there, they are doing the, supposed to work, do the work of Kshatriyas. But actually, instead of doing the work of Kshatriyas, they are presenting the Shudra qualities and opening the cinema houses and opening the liquor shops and so many other things they are doing. Because the point is that the knowledge is not given. What is Kshatriya? And the people who are supposed to be Kshatriyas, they are not doing the work of Kshatriya. Like last time also we were discussing, if somebody...
This answers his question also. Huh? Somebody was asking there a question, right? About politicians today that we have given freedom that even an uneducated, illiterate man can become a big politician in the country by democracy. Correct? So if such a person is made a politician, what will happen, he is telling now, currently. I heard about Saddam Hussein. He is hiding in a underground and sending all his soldiers to go and fight. This is not Kshatriya. Kshatriya means he will show his chest and come in the front, wanting to be killed in the battlefield. That's considered glorious for him.